What was that all about? Behind me.
Calling the heaven and the earth and the day and the night.
I thought I had heard that formula before, but could not recall the place or the context. Surely it was some time when a person of the Nuang Bo conviction was being particularly cryptic. The excitement had increased. Someone had stolen some horses already, had acquired them. Let us not leap too far with our conclusions. Several riders were charging around, unguided by any rational plan. Something should have been in place for a situation like this. I grumbled.
This is what happens when nobody wants to take charge.
You three men! Get over here! What in the name of God are you doing? After listening to their hemming and hawing, I gave some orders. They galloped off with messages. I murmured,
There is no God but God. God is the Almighty, boundless in mercy. Show mercy unto me, O Lord of the seasons. Let mine enemies be even more confused than my friends.
I felt like I was inside the eye of a storm of screw-ups. My fault? All I did was show up. If I was likely to have that effect, someone should have met me away from witnesses and led me to Sara's farm. That might have given us time to get into shape with nobody the wiser. We really had very little formal organization. No declared chain of command, and no established table of responsibility. We had no real policies other than fixed enmities and an emotional commitment to release the captured. We had deteriorated into little more than a glorified bandit gang, and I was embarrassed. It was partly my fault. I rubbed my behind. I had a distinct feeling the captain was going to catch up on years' worth of chew-outs. I could make all the excuses I wanted about only being a stand-in for Murrigan while he was buried, but I had been chosen as his understudy, and the analyst is often the standard-bearer, too. And the standard-bearer is generally designated because those in command think he is capable of becoming lieutenant, and possibly, eventually, captain. Which meant that Murrigan had seen something in me a long time ago, and the old man had not found cause to disagree with him. And I had done nothing with that, but have a good time designing torments for our enemies, while a woman who was not a pledged member of the company assumed most of its leadership by default. Sara's courage and intelligence and determination were beyond reproach, but her skills as a soldier and commander were less so. She meant well, but she did not understand strategies not designed around her own needs and desires. She wanted to resurrect the captured, of course, but not for the benefit of the Black Company. She wanted her husband back. To Sara, the company was just a means of achieving her ends. We were about to pay the price of my reluctance to step forward and serve the interests of the company. We were hardly more than the gang of thugs the Protector claimed us to be. I was willing to bet that any determined resistance we encountered hereabouts was likely to shatter what little family spirit the company had left. We would have to pay for forgetting who and what we were, and my anger, mainly at myself, made me seem twice life-size. I stomped around screaming and foaming at the mouth, and before long had bullied everyone into doing something useful. And then a sorry bunch of ragamuffins trudged out of the new town and headed for the refugee camp, like